What we'll do is, let's just begin with a quick review. Can you see if that light goes on? A quick review of yesterday. Remember, we talked first about surrender, and we talked about the ideals of surrender, how it's so important in Vedic times. Without surrender, there was no transfer of knowledge, and then we gave two reasons why surrender was so essential. Does anyone remember those two reasons?
Yes. Because when we're surrendered, there's no mental platform.
Okay, that's the practical one.
And
what's the mystical one?
Because Krishna's pleased when he pleases his devotees.
Good. Krishna's pleased when we satisfy his devotees. That's the mystical one, and practically, we're not on the mental platform. Okay, then we discussed how we had to make different distinctions. The first distinction was that between acceptable behavior and unacceptable behavior. And there were three different considerations we take into account. Does anyone know any of those considerations? Parasharma?
Behavior of the teacher, tolerance.
Okay.
And then time, place, and circumstances.
All right.
And the disciples, individuals.
The individual student. Okay, very good. Anyone not get a handout? Okay, Shashtar, can you give this out to anyone who has their hands up? Alright, and then the second distinction, which we started on yesterday, but we're going to discuss more today, is who owns the problem? Right, and we say that's essential. Now before I go into more depth about who owns the problem, I want to talk about a very interesting concept, which actually isn't taught about directly in any of your handouts, but it's something that I've studied independently and I've tied in with this course. It has repercussions far beyond even communications. So the first, it's called, how should we call it? Okay, circle of concern, and there's a circle of, Sorry. Didn't need to embarrass you. I did a good job, right? Is your wife here? Mother Jagasan, why don't you please sit here? Okay, so we're going to discuss this point first. So, in life, first let's say that there's things that we're concerned about. And there's things that we're simply not concerned about. Shaya, what's something that you're concerned about? What? Your stomach? Okay, very good. Especially here. Mother Leela, could you say something you couldn't care less about?
Yeah. What's going on at home?
Really? Well, let's say the budget for 1995 for the city of San Antonio. You probably couldn't care less about that.
And the party.
Right, okay. So there's naturally things that we're concerned about, and things that we're not concerned about, okay? But, so let's erase the things we're not concerned about, because who cares? Alright? Now, we have to make another distinction. There's things we're concerned about, and things that we can actually influence. Can Shreya Prabhu do something about his stomach?
Yes.
Probably. Okay. Hopefully. Or sometimes in India. So that would be in his circle of influence. Let's say I'm concerned about the outcome of the GVC meetings this year. Now, for me, I'm not a member of the GVC. Right? Is that, would that be something that I'm concerned about or something that I can influence? Right, okay. Say I'm concerned about, what is it, global warming? The global warming effect? What would that... Basically, I can't do too much about that. The economy, the environment, things like that. Or, yeah. So, there's things that we can influence directly and things that we're concerned about. Now, it's very important for us to put our energy into things that, that we can actually influence. And all too often, we find that we put too much of our energy... Wow, this class is expanding. Is everyone comfortable? You went to the wrong class. Now, of those devotees who arrived, are there any handouts left? Shesha? Any handouts left? No? I have to make up some more handouts. All right. Wait till everyone settles in. So what we want to do as devotees is we want to expand our circle of influence, and we want to work completely in this area. Now let me give you some examples so that I can make it a little more concrete. Say I have a bad Sankirtan leader, or I don't like my Sankirtan leader. Okay? I've had that experience. I've had some good ones, I've had some... I don't like my Sankirtan leader. Now, what we will often do is we'll get together with another one of our friends who's also going on the Sankirtan, and we'll start bad-mouthing our Sankirtan leader. Oh, you know, this guy, he sends us to the wrong spots. You know, these vehicles are 19 years old. You know, we haven't gotten the right books. He never sends us any Mahaprasadam in the mail. You know, and we just go on and on and on. And now what is that? That means that we're actually right here. We're not doing anything positive about it. We're just, you know, being very negative and just talking about things that we can't really change that much. Okay? Now, say I wanted to do something that I could change about the Sankirtan leader. Any suggestions that I could tangibly do? What's that? Can I go talk to the president? What else could I do?
Talk to him himself.
Go to another temple? Okay, there's an extreme one. Try to become a Sankirtan leader yourself. Yeah, I guess he could, you know, anyway, take out the brake fluid from his car or something. I mean, you could also adjust your...
responsibility,
too. Yeah, you could also take up more responsibility yourself. Fix the car yourself. Change your attitude. Or try to cooperate with him more. Maybe it's you. Actually... try to serve him more nicely, try to become more humble in his presence, and that way try adjust his the way that he reacts to you. These are ways within our circle of influence. Okay? And this is so important. Even our philosophy in Krishna consciousness, one of the most important verses in the entire Bhagavatam is Tateinu Kampam Sukshamikshamano Bunjane Yevatma Vikam Dipakam Fritvag Dipapur Viridham Namaste Jiveti Yo Mukti Pade Sadhayabak. And that means that a devotee must, Prabhupada says that this verse should be the guide of all devotees. And that is that a devotee, when something happens to him, he doesn't blame Krishna. Okay? He considers that this is coming to me because of my past karma, my past karma. And Hrit Bhagvipapur Vidham Namaste, he offers his obeisances to the Supreme Lord and thinks how kind he is for minimizing what should have happened to him. And a person who does this, he inherits the kingdom of God. He goes back to Godhead. This is one of the essential verses. Actually, what Jagdish Maharaj calls this the counseling verse, because he does a lot of counseling.
Where is it?
Yeah, it's in the bottom. 18,000 verses. It's in the 10th canto, 14th chapter, text number 8. 10, 14, 8. Lord Brahma. Instructions to Lord Brahma. Right? That's Brahma Mohan Lila. Yeah. It's the last chapter that Srila Prabhupada translated before he left us. 10, 14, 8. Thank you. So this, not only in the spiritual sense, it cuts at the root of our envy. Right? Because we're not, what is envy? Oh, it's Krishna's fault. Right? And working in this circle of concern is a very similar thing. You know, we're blaming so many other people. How many times have you heard, you know, ISKCON this and ISKCON that? Right, you know, and the leader's this and the leader's that. That's all, it's negative and it's all in the circle of concern. I know one way that I think about this a lot is, I guess I've been a devotee, I've been in the Krishna consciousness for about 17 years. And how many times I've spent worrying like about things in ISKCON, worrying about politics, worrying about this person or this leader, or you know, this has gone. I remember when I was a new devotee, pretty new devotee, that we had a court case that we lost in Minnesota about the state fair, and I was there. It was our day off from Sanctum. Every phone call was from another reporter. You know, I was a new devotee. I was, you know, 19 years, 18 years old, or something like that. You know, and they're all drilling me. And I was, you know, how much energy I've expended over the years worrying about things that were in my circle of concern. Whereas if I had spent that time, if I had thought, well, I can't really do anything about this. But the best way that I could help this time is if I become strong in my Krishna consciousness. Or how many times I've wasted my japa periods meditating on some problem when I should be meditating on the holy name. Think of the accumulative effect over those 17 years of better chanting. If I acted in, because we all, ultimately, our final circle of influence is we can always pick up a bead bag and chant Hare Krishna. We can't do anything else. We can't change the world, we can't save the world, we can't save our family, if we can't save our body, that we can pick up a bead bag and chant Hare Krishna. Okay? Another example, I'll just give you an example, just happened few minutes ago to me, was I, my spiritual master came in the room and chastised me for not doing something that I was supposed to have done a couple of months ago. And that wasn't bad enough that he also made a more general statement of my general spaced outness. I'm not a great manager. It's not one of my better things, but I'm doing it anyway. So. He did it just before, while I was preparing for this class. So I was thinking about this point, and I was thinking now, although obviously I care very much about what he, you know, what he says to me and that I want to please him, actually at this very moment, preparing for this class, it's not at all going to help me to worry about the fact that I was just chastised and that I, you know, I didn't do this thing. You know, I could have gotten on the computer and tried to work it out, but I wouldn't have done it in time and I wouldn't have prepared for this class. So I had to actually consciously, even though it was, you know, obviously just is great concern to me, I had to put it aside. Right after this class, I'm going to run and do it. But I had to put it aside and actually work on something else right now. And not only that, but I had to try to not let it affect me, for at least right at this very moment.
Now I'm, who said I did it?
But that's another example. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is that this can be applied to so many different aspects of our life. Okay. But how does it apply to this course is what really we want to discuss right now. So problems fall in this paradigm, in this, what we're trying to explain here, problems could fall into three different categories. One, things that you have direct control over, okay? Your sadhana, your amount of eating, your behavior to somebody else, your going out and, you know, buying, better medicine for your stomach, whatever. You can directly influence it. Indirect control is number two. That's what we're going to be discussing soon. When someone else has a problem, and you want to help them, it's your concern to help them, then how do you work in your circle of influence to help them? And then things that you have no control over. So in number one, the direct control, you work on yourself. In number two, you try to help others. And we're going to be explaining this all in detail, but one of the best way to help others, when it's not our problem, is to help them realize, number one, that they have direct control over solving their problem. And number three, when when it's completely out of your control, well, one of the best things to do is just smile and say Hare Krishna. Right? If it's actually out of your control. Even the Alcoholics Anonymous have a saying about this. Does anyone know that? I'm not. You raise your hand, you know it. I'm not going to say that you're a member. But it was something like, give me the...
Do
you know it?
Serenity prayer. They say, God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Good. Did everyone hear that?
Yeah. That's the prayer.
Could you say it a little louder?
God, give me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Right. That is actually... it can be applied easily to Krishna consciousness. Some of the things are at it, you know, Hare Krishna, right? And there's things like that also. So, now getting back to our person, our unsurrendered person, right? We have an unsurrendered person who has a problem. Remember, this is putting it in yesterday's context. So, if we make that problem our own, right? When it's their problem, then we will be working in our circle of concern and not in our circle of influence. Say I've decided, I have come to a firm conclusion that, let me pick on today, that Bhakta Robert must move to India. I just decided this, by the way, Bhakta Robert. I have analyzed your situation very carefully. You're in Bhaktivedanta Manor. You're doing sankirtan there. It's not going to be good for your spiritual life. You're going to fall into bad association. I can see it right now. And you have to move to India. Now, there's one problem. He doesn't want to go to India. He likes Bhaktivedanta Manor. You know, he likes to come here, you know, take the VIG courses, but, you know, he hadn't even thought about it until... But if I make it my mission in life, Robert's moving to India. Oh, sorry about that, Michael. I don't have the power to force him to do that. You know, yesterday I can grab him by the, you know, he's bigger than me actually. You know. I'm going to run out of, he doesn't see it as a problem. And he didn't even ask me, you know, my opinion, you know, he didn't ask me even for my advice on the matter. I've just decided. So that is not going to help at all. If he asks, you know, what should I do? That could be very nice. But if he does, the other person doesn't even recognize that there is a problem that they own, then it's simply going to be a struggle. And teachers, temple presidents, people in leadership roles, this is such a frustrating thing, going back to what we discussed yesterday. Trying to solve a problem when the other person that another person doesn't want solved. Right? Even sometimes, have you ever just try to reveal your mind just a little bit to a friend, and immediately they start pouring out answers? You know, I think you should do this. But that wasn't what you wanted. You just really wanted to sound off to somebody, get it off your chest a little bit, and they just walk away and, oh, God, I know. Or he didn't even let me get to the real crux of the issue. So this, again, all of these are in the, and I've seen it, I told you about that Tamil president I had. He just grabbed everyone's problems and made them his own. He just went nuts. He literally lost it. And he gave up, and he practically gave up on his own spiritual life. He just came overburdened with so many problems that he doesn't have the power to solve directly. And he can be very, he's out in his circle of concern. So what we want to discuss is how to work in this circle of influence. How, when you see someone else who has a problem, how to actually help that person. Because these things don't ultimately help. Any questions so far? Robert.
I find one problem with what you just said in a Christian conscious context, that obviously sometimes we like to reveal our minds to someone, like not really kept the source back, but at the same time, what happens if what you're revealing is actually bordering on Vaishnava Aparad? Can the person who's having it revealed to him, can he just like tolerate it?
I understand your question. We're going to discuss this in depth later. That's one of the points. But yes, a person who's trying to help others naturally has his limits. A counselor, we have to work within our limits, and certainly that's actually directly written in the next handout that you're going to get today. That naturally we're not just going to, because we're going to be talking about how to listen to people, especially empathically. You actually try to try to understand really what they're going through. But there's naturally limits to that, especially Vaishnava Aparad and illicit activities. You know, really? And then? You know? Because we'll discuss this later, but you take on these impressions. A devotee has to be so careful in his life. What everyone hears, what everyone sees, creates impressions in the mind. It can last for lifetimes. Finally,
you said there's no point in talking about things which are concerned us but are out of our influence. But I don't see this as absolute, because I've experienced that sometimes devotees are out of control in certain situations, but by talking about it with other devotees, it helps clear the issue. Or by writing about it, sometimes things are out of your control. By writing in articles, you help explain your point of view. And mm-hmm. Things can change. It's amazing. I've seen things change, the whole society change, by articles and devotees talking. Not out of the top of the head, but uh-huh. In a constructive way like that.
So that's an example of working with circle of influence. Mm-hmm. The article influences people. No, but that's actually a good example of what I'm trying to say. You may not be directly able to like barge into the the GBC. I think like this, but you might think, well, actually, if I write this and write it nicely and without any offensive mentality or something, I give it out. Maybe that's the night. Just to give you an idea on that level. But that is working with one's circle of influence. It's because you're doing something. You can generally tell if it's. I mean, I hate to use such new age terms, but if something gives like positive energy or negative, And you see it sometimes. I mean, it's very unfortunate if devotees start blaming this, blaming that, blaming this. But if we actually understand deeply that verse, that as devotees, nothing's things are happening to us due to our past karma. And we should go on with all of our heart engaging in Krishna's service. It doesn't mean that the leaders of our society should go on just saying, oh, it's your karma, blah, blah. Certainly, all of us, leader or follower, should be working to improve our society. That's also within our circle of influence. Some people's circle may be bigger than others, right? But whatever the size, we should all be working to improve things, but from the individual devotee's point of view, the idea is just blaming and blaming. It's not going to get us out of the material world. We have to develop our love for Krishna. And we can waste a lifetime. I've literally seen devotees waste their lives in just blaming anything outside of themselves. Whereas this verse places the blame here. And then it's easy to work on it because you can work on yourself. It's very important in Krishna consciousness. I've done it myself. Just wait, you know, if it wasn't for this person is stopping me from doing it. Like when I got chastised. See, what happened was I'd actually delegated this duty to someone else. So I was thinking, you know, okay, well, I was just about to start saying, well, so-and-so didn't do it. But ultimately, it rests on the person delegating the duty to make sure it gets done, right? And I caught myself and didn't blame others because it's my, oh, you know, I've been so busy today, actually, I've got to accomplish so many. But it wasn't that, but better to think of something positive. Okay, now what can I do to make up for it? It's like that story with Satsarup Maharaj. It's in that video, where they're remembering Srila Prabhupada. And he didn't enclose something in a letter, and Srila Prabhupada got very upset with him. And at first he was trying to apologize and that didn't pacify Prabhupada. It was only when he actually, you know, you could say in one sense by his apologies that was just a circle of concern, when he actually said, actually, I know what I'll do, I'll write him another letter, enclose it, and apologize for not having done it the first time, then Prabhupada was satisfied. He actually did something positive. He said, well, you know, right, if I would have done this, oh God, I would have walked in class. Okay. Is that alright? Who is that? Okay, we'll take one more.
This is the difference between something falling into the circle of concern and the circle of influence. Mm-hmm. It seems that if we can understand the three dimensions of relationships with devotee senior, equal, and below, then that'll determine whether it falls into concern or influence. Mm-hmm. For instance, that example with, I don't like my sankirtan leader, if the person goes to someone who's higher, senior devotee, then that's circle of influence. But if he goes to someone junior, then that's circle of concern.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a very nice point. Yeah. That's a good. I've seen that this can be applied in like zillions of ways. And that's one good example. Right, one is positive, yeah. And the other is just, you know, doesn't do anything for anybody.
So what about with someone on an equal level? Where does that go?
That's what we're going to talk about right here. Perfect lead-in for the next point. Yes, in one sense, that's what we're going to be discussing. So. I just want to make one more point because I don't like to leave things dangling. So Mataji brought something up yesterday that I thought about last night, and it ties in a little bit. It's a bit of an aside, but it is important, so I'll just bring it up briefly. Now, when someone else's problem becomes yours, like for example, where's Lakshman? Is he here today? Hi, you're not near the window, spacing out. When Lakshman's, you know, looking out the window, we said yesterday he's my student. Right, and it's his problem. He's missing out on my lesson. But it may become my problem, as Mataji pointed out, when the parents come to me and say, why hasn't my child learned anything here? Right. So one thing is that, therefore, it helps to have rules. In a lot of situations, it helps to have some rule sets, so that it was because I didn't see it as my problem until the parent came busting into my office. Right. So I just, it's his problem, you know, and I'm going to try to help him deal with it. But I didn't see it as my problem. But when there's rules, say there's a rule in the classroom, in the school, if a child isn't interested in learning, he has to leave the Gurukul. Okay? Then I see Lakshman, after, you know, repeated attempts to try to talk it over with him, and this and that, he's not following that rule, then there's the rule, and then it's my problem to enforce the rule. Now there's a clear rule, right? It's become my problem. Okay, Lakshman, back to Hong Kong. or another example, this is a very graphic example because it happens so many times. There's a brahmachari who's getting up once a week for Mangal Arati. Okay? And it's his problem, but he's also starting to influence the other. You notice that other brahmacharis are going less to the morning program. And, the town president's kind of seeing it. He said, is it because of, Mayapur Shashti's, or maybe not, or, it's a little, is it his problem, is it my problem, right, like that. So but if there's a rule in the temple, all the brahmacharis have to go to the morning program every day unless they're sick. Then it becomes, clearly it's my problem, I have to enforce the rule, and I call him in my office, and he uses a much more different technique instead of, you know, just sitting him down and trying to talk to him, which is what we're going to suggest when it's his problem. I have a problem and I'm going to be more direct. You know, listen, you're going to have to, we have this rule in the temple. And the rule is actually ultimately helpful. If he actually moves out of the temple, and if he comes once a week, then everyone, when they see him once a week, oh, nice to see you, Mayapur. Right, isn't it? And but if he comes once a week and he's living in the ashram, lazy bum. Right? So the rules can be very helpful. Yeah, that was a little aside, but I thought about it. Okay, so what to do when someone owns a problem? Okay, I see that Bhakta Eckhart is serving in my temple, but he's not very enthusiastic, he's not happy. So what am I going to do? Am I going to call him in my office and I say, I order you to be happy. Did you hear me? Be happy. Right? It's obviously not the way, this direct approach. When I own the problem, that's what we're going to be discussing about 3 days from now. Okay? But he has a problem. Of a relationship. Talk it over with the person. Okay? And that's what we are suggesting. When an unsurrendered person has a problem, and it's our concern to help them, so the way we're going to get in our circle of influence is to talk to that person. And oftentimes, even with a surrendered person, there's many examples of this in the Shastra, you'll be getting some of them in your handouts today. The guru will do this, the town president will do this, the expert teacher will do this. They'll still talk it over. Even if the person's fully surrendered, they'll do whatever you say if it's top of a hat. Still, in order to get the person to solve his own problem, and then that way become more self-reliant, he may just decide to listen to him, even though you can just tell him what to do. Okay, so as a first exercise, I want you to write down your response. Now, all of you have just been promoted, or depending on your position, demoted, or whatever, to the temple president. Well, you're all temple presidents, okay? You got that? And you see that I'm distraught. Distraught, I'm unhappy. Okay, I'm very unhappy. You can see, you know, the face is the index of the mind. I'm unhappy. And so you see that, you're the temple president, so you come up to me, and you ask me if there's anything wrong. And I say, well, you know, Prabhu, I'm really having a hard time chanting my rounds these days. As a matter of fact, I figured it out yesterday, and I'm 278 rounds behind. That's right. So I want you all to write down your response to it. No, say it. Don't tell me
what is the problem?
I just so you're gonna ask a question.
I'm gonna ask.
Okay, number 11. Okay. Next, Mother Krishna Shakti.
Well, giving a plan, you know, help him find a plan that would, work with him.
Okay.
So you need to change your 16 and maybe 50 extra way until you get it down or whatever.
Okay. So is that advice? What? Okay. Well, we'll say maybe it's there. Who else? Come on, there must be some happy Tom presidents here. Can't tell me whoever is Tom president.
Happy. You could actually praise him for saying, thank you for being so honest about the situation. Mm. And then you would say, I see you really suffering in the past. Mm. I'm very concerned about it. And then I ask him, what does he think he can do?
Okay. He's going to praise a little bit, but also part of his answer comes out of these 12. That second part, what is he going to do about it? Although it's a question. Yeah, question. All right. Come on, everyone should have done this, so let's hear see some more hands up. Yes, Guru?
I'm going to try to find out why.
Why? You're going to probe.
Why are probing up here? Probing is questioning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, Prabhu,
Simon? Okay, you're going to give him some suggestions? So give him some advice, I guess, huh? All right, can anybody here just say, stop, come on, you know, where are the old tunnel presidents from the 1970s? I don't
know what my tunnel president used to be like.
Stop feeling sorry for yourself and just get on with it.
All right, very good. That is an Aussie answer, friends. Yes.
I'd first like to know why he does a Chinese song.
Why? Okay, you're going to psychoanalyze. Well, why is also more practical?
But his time table, what he's doing during the day.
Okay, all right. And didn't no one threaten that they're going to kick him out of the tunnels?
Yes. You know, probably need to review the philosophy on the board as a chanting.
All right, you were preaching to him. Yes.
I'm going to say it sounds like you're really having a hard time.
Sounds like you're really having a hard time. Okay, that falls over here. That's out of these 12.
But I was going to say, to show that I sympathize and I feel sorry, and then trying to make the person feel at ease, and then ask them questions to make them talk.
Okay, so you're gonna. I think you're gonna be over here a little bit and over here a little bit. By the way, I'm leaving this secret for a reason. Okay, let's hear one more. Maya, for?
I'll just say, oh well. But anyway,
Kamal,
would you like to come and help me respect
that Amaha offering? Alright, there you go. Did you ever hear the joke about the... Okay. Alright, ordering, you know. Look, Baba, you took initiation, just stop spacing out and change around. Preaching, you know, this is, you know, the whole Harinama, Harinama, Harinama. But I mean, if you don't chant your rounds, you're going to hell. Yeah, a Texan tone president, right? Lecturing logically, you know, Kuda is also like, actually, you know, the whole chanting of the holy name cleanses our heart. It's a very important process in the state of Kali. Like, advising, you heard some advising. Planning, name, use space case. Famous Iskandism. Hopefully, it will be around forever. Psychoanalyzing, you know. Reassuring. Anyway, you know, I've seen many devotees have the same problem and overcome it. It's really not, it's not that bad. You know, I think you can get over it. Questioning. Sometimes questioning can, you know, you just get third degree distracted. Like, let's go take some prasad. So these, you ready for this? These are all no-nos. Actually, they're called... roadblocks. Or as Srila Prabhupada would say, stumbling blocks. Right? You're on the road, and you're trying to help somebody out. And all of these, when done inappropriately, now I'm not saying in Krishna consciousness, these, especially if the person is surrendered, you can use all of these. Or if there's no problem, right? If you have a wonder, a very good working relationship, say with your spiritual master, he orders you to say, what's the problem? Spiritual master chastises you, even if he threatens you, you know. If the relationship is strong, if he's surrendered, or if there's just no problem, then... But when someone else owns a problem, and let's try to analyze a little bit why these things are no-nos. Well, one reason is that in practically all of these, what you're doing is you're grabbing their problem and taking it on yourself, right? I'm ordering you to do something. Well, I know exactly. You're just taking your problem. You know, you're taking their problem and spitting it out at them, so to speak, and forgives it like that. You're taking on their problem. Also, sometimes the psychologists say it's called the language of unacceptance. So we'll be discussing that a little bit more now. You know, you can say that I don't, it's unacceptable for you to have this problem. Well, that's fine, but I have it. Right? It may not be good, but the fact is that it exists. And to say that, you know, to say that it doesn't exist or is not reality. Let me see if I can give some, I can go over them a little bit if you like. Ordering, it definitely grabs the problem. But it often conveys that I don't care about your problem, right? Threatening, I don't care about your problem also. Preaching, I don't trust your judgment, often it replies it. And all of these are definitely grabbing the other person's problem. I don't trust you guys here. Advising, counseling, I don't think you can solve this one. Right, so I'm going to solve it for you. Lecturing logically, this often creates resentment. As it, you know, you don't think I, as if you're saying, I don't think you can think straight. So here, let me present this logically to you. Blaming, you're dumb, inadequate, etc. gives those kinds of feelings. And it also really, blaming really causes counter-criticism a lot. Right, which is right in that circle of concern. You know, and it also grabs the problem. Praising can often be seen as being insincere. And we feel that the other person doesn't really know what's going on inside me. Psychoanalyzing, I have you figured out. If I'm right, at best you can feel a little naked in front of that person, right? And if they're wrong, you feel completely misunderstood. And again, a good example of someone grabbing the problem. Reassuring is just discounting my feelings. And questioning, you know, how am I going to find out if I don't question? But questioning definitely also grabs the other person's problem. And it can create a mood of mistrust if I don't know why you're asking me. Right? Remember, sometimes we see a person as a problem that they haven't even recognized yet. Then we start questioning about it. Where's this, where's this guy coming from? Right? If we do know what he's talking about, sometimes we start thinking, well, he's going to solve it for me. And I can just start to, you know, turn off my own intelligence, my own problem-solving capabilities, and just answer the questions, and he's going to, you know, give me the, you know, it's going to come out the printer or the computer, and there's the answer. And then distracting, you know, the person has no respect for me, isn't interested, I feel rejected. So, what I'd like to do is do a little role-playing. I don't know how much time do you have. It's so bad. Reinforce these points. So I'm a concerned authority of yours. So you can, for this role play, often what we'll do is role play right up in front. I'll play somebody and someone else. But for now, I'll just leave you stay in your seats. And your homework for last night, you all have 3 problems, right? Okay. That's all you have, right? And I'm going to help you guys out. Don't worry. Trust me. Okay. So, who wants to, okay. My boy, I see, you know, there's something on your mind. You want to explain it to me?
Well, Prabhu, it's when I go back to England, I just don't know what the position is that's going to be with my Sankirtan. I've just heard the Sankirtan leaders resigned. There's probably going to be no books, just going to be the pamphlet. I'm going to be sending journals for the same campaign.
Yeah, but you see my work. You see, you're such a good devotee. You know, I don't see how there's going to be any problem. You know, you're just like, you just roll with the punches so well. You're so surrendered to your spiritual master. You know, you're such an ideal person that I have complete faith that you'll just be able. You'll probably take over the entire centennial program for the whole world. You know what I mean? Isn't he such a nice devotee? He's such a good devotee. It's great. I don't see any.
I think
you're
just saying.
Okay, out of role. So I'm obviously I'm exaggerating things a little bit, but how do you feel?
Not really.
Okay. Good. Alright, who else? Any other volunteers? So that was praising. Simon? Let me figure out which one I'm going to do. You know, Simon, this is really serious. The first offense against the holy name is the blasphemy of the holy name. And if you go into this critical attitude, you know, I've been a devotee many years now, and I've seen them come and I've seen them go. It's like a turnstile. Everybody turns out of a train station or something. Right? So you want to do that? You just want to come in and, you know, today you have short hair, tomorrow I'll be down here? No, I'm serious. You really better, you know, if you don't stop criticizing devotees, you're out of here. How did you feel? Nice counseling. She said she knows that person.
We all know that person.
Okay, let's do one more. That was threatening. It's not that they're all exclusive. I could probably throw none of them if I wanted to. I always knew you. Threatening, preaching, lecturing logically, waning maybe. Did I call any names? You operati. Okay, we'll do one more.
I don't know if my girl would really approve of the service I'm doing for the VIHT, but I feel like I want to do it anyway.
Why do you feel that way?
Because you asked me to.
I mean, is it something you feel like from a previous life, or is it just a certain insecurity?
Well,
were your parents together when you were a child?
Arrangement
of
something, I ended up with
this service. Has this been going, this mood of insecurity, were you like this before you were in the world?
I'm
serious, answer me, I'm really concerned about that, I want to know. How old were you in the world?
16.
16, huh? And do you have any brothers or sisters? Really? So, how did you feel?
Like, you didn't care about my problem.
Okay. Although questioning, I might not have done so. Questioning sometimes can show some concern for the person's problem, but it's just that person doesn't know how to do well. Can really, you know. Often, another thing about questioning, it's going to be in this handout ever comes. I asked, it's just on my desk, I asked nobody to bring it. One thing is that when you ask questions, and you'll see, because in a minute from now we're going to start discussing what I think we should be using. You're narrowing the scope of the response, right? Oftentimes we'll find that what superficially is what the person is saying in the beginning actually isn't at all what the real problem is, right? But by my questioning, I'm just sticking to the first things that I'm hearing, and I'm narrowing it down to a very far off corner of the problem, which may have nothing to do with the actual root. Right? And how do I, unless I'm in touch with the supersoul, and can actually, you know, if I'm a very elevated devotee and have a very direct relationship with her, you know, in that case, one understand an exalted spiritual master can actually, many people have this. I mean, Prabhupada had this uncanny way of being in a room, you know, 500 disciples, and each one of them, you know, would sometimes notice something that they thought was directed right towards them. But if I'm not on that platform, maybe there's some of us here who aren't yet, then we have to, you know, resort to other methods. So that's another real big problem with questioning, is, you know, okay, it's really taking on the person's problem. I'm going to figure it all out.
But that also be distracting, because the kinds of questions that you were asking weren't really related to my problem.
Well, you could say it is distracting, but distracting can be, I've done it so many times, you know, especially if I'm in a rush, someone's trying to say something, I really haven't done that many times, but I've seen it, you know, you just say, anyway, it's okay, so you know, it's prasadam time, you know, that's the taste of prasadam, you know, or, you know, I tell some joke. It's like a distracting means that it really shows that I don't have the time for this. I don't really care that much about it. Or I'm saying that actually your problem isn't very important. If you just forget about it, it'll go away. Now that's great if the person who owns the problem decides that. And it may even be true. But I don't know, it could be a humongous problem that maybe the difference between this person's remaining a devotee or not remaining a devotee. You know? I mean, sometimes I've seen, you know, sometimes when I'm talking to someone, a very, what seems to be a small thing, all of a sudden they open up and it's like a life and death decision that the devotee's trying to make. You know, what seems to be have been a very small thing.
Any questions about these 12 roadblocks? Now, of course, when you hear what you shouldn't do, everyone's eager to find out what you should be doing. But you may have to stay tuned until tomorrow. Get to the
Could it be, it could be a difference between, like, if you just noticed that the devotee looked down, or you didn't notice that at all, by appearance sake, you know, they seem okay, but you heard from someone else that they're having some problem, some spiritual problem or something.
Okay.
So could the way you react to that be different according to those different situations?
Well, I think you, in our, you weren't here yesterday, I don't think, but in our discussion about who owns the problem, whether it's my problem, say as its own president, or that person's problem as a person working under me, it seems that it's still that person's problem, however I found out about it. Okay? So, in, you know, practically I may go about it a little differently. Okay? But especially if the person who informed me wanted to remain anonymous. Right? But in principle, the fact that they own the problem and not me, I'm going to approach it the same method, which will be, which we're going to call active listening. Okay, that's what we're going to discuss. So tomorrow, what we're going to do is discuss, there's four different stages of listening, skills. We're going to really get right into the skills of listening. We'll do this, we'll do that kind of thing. Any other questions on what we discussed today? While we're finishing this up, Chashtar, can you go to my office and, well, first go to room 50 and see if Rajan is there and ask him to photocopy you here. Oh, wait, I'm looking at you and saying Chashtar. Chashtar, can you go do that? Room 50, you know where it is? And if not, go check my office and get them quickly, because time's almost up. Michael?
You mentioned the followless thing that is done past karma. That's why he's...
The devotee.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas the leader or the manager should not think that it's past karma. So what should we think?
Oh, well, what I mean to say is that we can't use that philosophy to not organize this kind of thing. Anyway, if the devotees suffer, they don't get nice prasadam, it's their karma. If they would have had better karma, they would have had it going to a temple that has more money. We can't afford anything but cabbage. No, a manager has to adjust to, you know, managing is a very difficult service because of the manager, we're not supposed to find fault, right? I just lectured to Simon about that. Manager has to find fault. It's very hard service. But, so what I'm saying is, it's kind of like philosophical and practical. In the manager's own life, in his own life, he, of course, thinks everything is... You see, this is a very important point, by the way. This is a little off subject, but it's very important for our Krishna consciousness. It's essential. The devotee, until he's very advanced, sees like this, that it's my karma, and I have to go on and offer my obeisances to the Lord, and it's not Krishna's fault. It's only actually, the acharyas explain, it's only really a very exalted level when we start saying Krishna's mercy. Right? This is important to understand when we stub our toes, sometimes you hear, you know, Krishna's mercy. Or, you know, I just got in a car accident and your friend says, oh, it's Krishna's mercy. I'll give you a little Krishna's mercy. Right? That's actually a very elevated platform. And it shouldn't, as we heard in class today, it shouldn't be imitated. But rather, a devotee on our platform, we should think that this is happening due to my past karma. Krishna's very kind. He's minimized it. And I'm going on, and I'm not blaming him, I'm going on with my devotional service to offer all my love, all my service, all my time to Krishna. That's a very important distinction.
One other thing that I thought of in the situations I've been describing that can be a problem, and that is that if the person who's got the problem has the feeling that the person you're really problem to, is then going to go away and talk about it.
Yes, well, we'll discuss that. Confidentiality is very important.
So when you see somebody with a problem, when you approach him saying,
you're going to read about that tonight. That's called invitations to communications. It's an invitation.
I don't know if I heard this in a class or I read it. Maybe you can
conundrum. I heard that a devotee should think, if he has some problem, that this is my karma.
Mm-hmm.
But another devotee who sees that devotee suffering should think this is Krishna's mercy on him.
Yeah, that's nice.
When he sees another devotee suffering, he sees
Krishna's
mercy.
He shouldn't say, oh, that's your karma, or that's that devotee's
karma.
Oh, but
yeah.
This is Krishna's mercy for this devotee.
Ah, that's interesting. I'll have to think about that a little bit. Because a lot of it depends on how you say it, isn't it? Hey, from what's your karma? You know, if you don't say it in the right... If you actually really have some deep some realization about that verse, and you actually explain it to them properly, then it can be a very wonderful thing. But if you, sometimes we very coldly say, like, this is karma. You know, like, if I had one of the, we have a teacher in Gurukul who's very sick right now. Right? That's not, that doesn't, as we also heard that in class, that, you have to soften our heart. Oh, God, what can I do to help her?
Well, you might think that, somewhere you might think it's her karma, but you probably as a devotee, you also think Krishna's purifying her, that Krishna's getting special mercy.
Right. So
it doesn't relieve us from the position of being servants, though. Because if you see someone who's in distress and they're within the circle of influence where you could help them, then you're obligated to do that. It's an impersonal attitude, and that's their karma.
Right.
And a personal attitude is, I'm a servant of this person, I'm not going to help them.
So it's better with the right heart. Just like, I'll give you an example. There's another Mataji who's dying of cancer here, from the Raja Vigraha. And I went to see her the other day with my wife and child. And she's an amazingly good consciousness, as far as, as far as my limited understanding. Very good, very Christian conscious. And she was explaining some things about household life to my wife and I in terms of ultimate detachment. You know, how you have this responsibility to your son, but he's a soul with his own karma, and, you have to, at a certain stage, be fully detached. And she had a very deep realization about this. So her saying that is very different than like a new devotee, giving a Bhagavatam class and you heard it somewhere and, just getting real, household life thing, children bags of school, it's a whole different, when we heard it from our Shri, it was actually very enlivening and very uplifting, the same point, but with a different, perhaps a different mood, So tomorrow, okay, homework for tonight. Is that okay? Homework for tonight is, now I'm afraid there's so many more devotees here than you. There's only 45 of these. So I'm going to ask a few devotees to team up. Jagdish, do you live near Jagdish, for example? So try to, if there's a husband and wife here, try to just take one, like that, okay? Read this, the thing that you got at the beginning of class where you got the temple room. And also read this here. Okay. And I think that's all I'm going to ask you to do. Don't forget your problems. Keep those problems fresh in your mind, because we're going to be working with them more tomorrow. Okay. Shiva Prabhupada Ki Jai.